Space shapes behaviors. Behaviors create culture. And culture drives results. This is the More Than a Chair podcast by Business Furniture and Corio, where we're creating space for innovation, for dreamers, and for the next big idea. Welcome to the More Than a Chair podcast by Business Furniture and Corio. I'm your host, Amanda Clark. Now, we all know that change can be scary, especially when it's happening at work. It's why Corio was born, with a vision to make the workplace evolution a strategic people and business tool. Now, since Corio's birth in 2008, the certified woman-owned business has worked with dozens of companies in helping minimize the disruption associated with major moves and renovations, all while lessening the burden and maximizing the success of workplace change. Today, we have with us the masterminds behind Corio, CEO of Business Furniture and Corio, Mary Beth Oakes, and Corio President, Patty Clark. Ladies, I'm so excited to talk to you about all of this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're excited as well.
I know the story is just so incredible. Mary Beth, start us off and just tell us, how was Corio born? What is Corio? Why are you so passionate about this project?
Well, we are passionate about Corio because we really do believe it makes a difference for employees. We really think it creates a better experience. And really how the whole thing came up, I wish I could say that it was my bright idea, but it really wasn't. But really what happened, we had been partnered with Lilly. So Business Furniture and Lilly had been working closely together for many years. And Lilly came up with a concept called the integrated workplace. And it was really all about creating a new work environment for all the Lilly employees that would help them to do their best work. So it's really a variety of spaces to help them to do their best work and to really give them choice and control so they could determine throughout the day where they would work and how they would work. And of course, all these years later, that sounds great and that sounds amazing. But at the time, that was a big change for Lilly. And back then, back in 2007, when they got started with integrated workplace, they did not have laptops and they did not have mobile devices. And they were pretty much used to being tethered to an office or a workstation with tall panels. So even though in theory it sounded like a great idea what they were going to be doing, most of the employees were really nervous. And so Lilly's chief architect came to us, and I just happened to meet with him because the salesperson that worked with him was on vacation. And she thought that he really wanted me to write some protocols for how the employees should use the space. Well, when I met with him, that was the first time I'd ever met him before, and he wanted those protocols, but he wanted a lot more. He wanted what he called change management, and he asked me if we could do it, and we really had never formally done that for another client, but I thought, you know what? We've got some smart people in our organization at Business Furniture, so I figured we could figure it out. So I told him, yes, we can figure this out. And really what he was wanting, he was imagining that when employees moved into the space, they were going to be confused, they were going to need support, and they would need one place to go to get all the help and all the support that they needed. So if you kind of think like Apple and the Genius Bar, that's what the whole idea was. So we even called our service Move Genius. And it to this date, that is a trademark term, Move Genius, that belongs to Corio. But back in those days, we were still a part of Business Furniture, and I quickly recruited my friend and colleague, Patty Clark, who's with us today, and a couple other folks, and we just had to figure out how to best support those Lilly employees. And so that's really where it started. It was all about helping them to have a better experience and really helping them to get quickly acclimated into this new environment. So that's really where it all began. So it was really Lilly's idea. They were smart and they recognized that you can't just kind of dump a bunch of employees into a new environment and expect that automatically they're going to know what to do because they typically don't. They need some help and they need some support. And that is where we came in. So 13 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Patty, what did you think when Mary Beth reached out to you? And I mean, why do you think change management is so important? Were you on board right away, or how did you kind of react to this?
Well, I'm still confused as to why Mary Beth decided to call me. Because first off, I had never been down to Eli Lilly before. So I was like, okay, Mary Beth, I guess I'll go ahead and join you and we'll figure it out together. The other part that was so interesting is our first engagement with Eli Lilly basically was down at their building, and they had their group moving in, and they asked us to sit down there and observe employees as they were working in this new space. So we went down there, and Mary Beth, if I recall, we were down there for about 3 months.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was a long time and so much learned. I mean, I couldn't get over it because, you know, for all these years, you know, Patty and I both had a long history with business furniture. And, you know, so we really knew the furniture side of it. And we knew that we would go in and install these beautiful furniture setups. But then a lot of times we really didn't know how it actually turned out. How did the rubber meet the road? How did the employees really engage and work in that environment? So being able to live with them for all those months, it really gave us a great insight about really what was working great about the space and what still needed to be tweaked. And that's amazing. That's invaluable, incredible insight.
Yeah.
It definitely was an eye opener as we were down there. And we soon realized that they needed so much more prior to moving into a space. And as Mary Beth said, the first part of it was creating protocols. But then they decided when they moved into this space, well, let's see how employees react. Do we need protocols? So it was really about learning and listening to those employees as they moved into the space. So once again, as I mentioned, we learned that we had to do a lot prior to those move-ins. So part of it was technology training, culture training, ergo training. We came up with change agent meetings. So this was basically training our change agents, and then they would go back to their teams to give them information so that everybody was communicated with. And then eventually we were creating protocols. We did protocols by project. And basically the whole thing, what we learned quickly was it was all about communication, right? So employees needed to be communicated with. The more they knew, the better off they did. And as Mary Beth mentioned, we did support week of move-in or even longer for this group 3 months. And we soon found out that it was a proven process and we had success at Lilly. And then we started doing it for multiple organizations across Indiana and across the world.
Yeah. Wow. So it really grew quickly after we, you know, have been doing some work at Lilly for a while. And still, I think what's amazing about it, what still holds true today is that the workplace, even though we're kind of at a crazy, you know, time right now in the world, I think the workplace means so much to employees because a lot of times you feel like you spend more time at work than you do at home.
Yeah,
and
you
that's
do.
Why it's so, that's why it's emotional. And that's why when you start changing the workplace around, the, you know, the employees want to have a voice. They want to understand what's in it for them. They want to understand how they're going to be impacted. They want to know what's going to be different. And they also want to know, how are you going to support them through that change? And it's very emotional. And I think that's what I never really thought about. I mean, it's really, even though it ends up being a positive change for those employees and for that organization, it is still, you have to go through all the same emotions that you do for any other change. So it's very emotional. And sometimes people get stuck in that valley of despair where they get really frustrated because so many things are changing all at once. And so that's really how Corio has been able to really make a difference. You know, we've been there with those employees to guide them through, to make a difference, to get them, you know, through that valley of despair and to the other side where they really can be functional and productive in that new work environment. And, you know, I get it now. I don't think 13 years ago, I really understood how emotional the workplace was, but it's, it's your home and you want it to be what you want it to be and you want to know how to use it. So that's what everything, you know, really got people stirred up. So that's how we help.
Well, and getting those conversations started. Sorry, Patty. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, on top of all that, they have to do their day job. So as Mary Beth was mentioning, right? So you spend, you know, more time at your job than you do at home. And so you're mixing it up a little bit with more change on top of they have to get their work done every day. So then you add this change into it and it makes people, you know, it causes stress and anxiety. And, you know, we have to help them through that. And we have to support them from the standpoint as they come in to do their day job, then we're there to help them get through the other pieces.
Yeah. I love some of the ways you guys have worked to kind of get those conversations started, whether it was bringing chocolate in to get these.
Yo,
that's kind of our thing. The candy
is kind of our trademark now. Uh-huh. Yeah, because you know, in the beginning at Lilly, you know, the employees, when they saw us coming, they weren't necessarily happy to see us in the beginning because they associated us with that change that was happening. And so for the first few days, you know, nobody was really coming to see us to ask questions or get support. And so we kind of thought about this, what can we do, right, to kind of get them to come and visit us? And so we put this enormous bowl of chocolate on our table next to where we were sitting. And slowly but surely, you know, people started coming over to ask questions, and it just kind of broke the ice, right? It warmed them up. They got a piece of chocolate. You know, after a certain period of time, it was kind of funny. They may not even have had a question, but they would still come and get a piece of chocolate. And so it just kind of stuck, and it was just kind of our way of breaking the ice. And, you know, chocolate and candy are kind of things that everybody likes, you know, so it's just kind of a nice way to get people, you know, kind of sweetened up a little bit, right? And yeah, that people used to tease us, you're just trying to bribe us. And maybe in a way we were, but we had very good intentions. We really just wanted to help them, and we just wanted them to start to feel more comfortable in getting to know us as people, so we could get to know them as people and we could help them in their journey. So
yeah.
But so candy to this day is still our trademark. So we take candy with us everywhere we go.
They see us coming, and if we don't have candy, they're very upset with us. Yes. I mean, I love candy. I love chocolate, yes, but I soon learned that everybody really likes some type of candy. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like Mary Beth said, it made them feel comfortable, and like they didn't always have an issue or a concern, but they'd just come over and talk, so that when they did have an issue or a suggestion or some feedback, it made them a little bit more comfortable because they started to get to know us and talk to us. And, you know, we started creating relationships, believe it or not, just around candy. So now every meeting we have, whether it's a change agent meeting, a leadership meeting, on floor support, we bring candy wherever we go. And it really is a great icebreaker. I mean, you know, people sit down and it makes them smile, and everybody starts digging in and they talk about what type of candy they like. So it really does break that ice as you're beginning a meeting.
Yeah, I love it. Patty, I've heard you
about it. If you think about it, we kind of become an extension, right, of their human resources team and their facilities team, right? Because those folks have day jobs, right? And whatever kind of workplace transformation is happening, that's just a piece of their world, right? So it's really been nice for those organizations and great for us because, you know, we get to become an extension of what they're doing as we try to provide support for those employees and as we build communication plans and we work with change agents that are kind of those grassroots folks that help to guide the change internally. And then, you know, we train all the employees and we support them as they move in. And so that really just becomes an extension of facilities and human resources. And that way they can, you know, make sure that we handle everything and nothing falls through the cracks, and they can keep doing their day job, which is great.
Yeah. And I've heard you both describe Choreo, like if it were a person, it would be a therapist. How does that therapy portion kind of circle into the big why of why having help with your change management is so important in some of that communicating?
Well, sometimes people just want to vent. I mean, sometimes, you know, because change is difficult, even when it's a positive change, ultimately, everybody goes through those feelings of frustration and anxiety and denial. And sometimes you just want a place to go and vent. And sometimes maybe you even have an idea on how to make it better. So it does feel like a therapy session sometimes, but we are so glad we can help. We're glad that we can listen. We're glad that we can take their feedback. We're glad that we can make sure that we do something with it so something happens and nothing falls through the cracks. But yes, it is sometimes like therapy, but we love that part about it.
Yeah, and I think because we're a consultant too, I mean, if you think about going to your manager or director and you want to vent, sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable. So I think coming to us as a contractor, sitting down, a big part of a therapist, right, they listen. So as they come and vent, we just really listen to them. It's not always about giving them solutions. It's just about hearing what they have to say, what they're nervous about, what they're stressed about, and helping them work through it and just, you know, letting them know it's going to be okay. Some people can adjust through change quickly, and others it takes a while, and that's okay. You know, we try to let them know, take a deep breath. This might take a little bit longer, but that's okay. You'll eventually get there, right? So I think it's just about listening. I think a big piece of our job is listening. It's communicating, but also listening to what people have to say.
Yeah. What have you learned over the past 13 years, kind of reflecting, and especially just to kind of bring it to present day and all the change that we've faced in 2020 and that all companies are facing right now? What is the one thing you know for sure, and that area of just learning and education as we push forward to so much change right now?
Well, I think I've learned a couple things. I mean, I think first of all, I would recommend to any organization that it helps to have a really strong strategy about how you're going to use your space. And we are big, big believers in really getting your employees' voice involved in that strategy, making sure your leaders have a vision for that strategy, and not just making sure the leaders have a vision for the physical workplace, but what is that culture that you are striving for? What is your culture today, and how do you want to keep evolving that so the company can be very high performance and forward focused, right? So I think it's really important to have a strategy that has employee input built in and a leadership vision. Because once you have that strategy, that really will guide your decisions. It's your big why, and it guides everything you do in the workplace. I think the second thing I've learned, the more that you can get leaders aligned and involved in really helping to execute that why, and to be a part of the change management process with us, that is so valuable. The leader's voice is critical, right? I mean, it's really important how they lead and how they model whatever new behaviors you're trying to incorporate into your team. You know, having their support and their buy-in is 1,000% critical, really important.
So I would agree with all of that. I think what I've learned and what I know for sure is that I think there's more people that don't like change than like change. Mary Beth and I used to start our meetings with, okay, who likes change? Raise your hand. And we'd get maybe a quarter of the people that would raise their hands.
Maybe.
Wow. And then we would say, well, you know, who thinks that change is like a root canal? And we'd have three quarters or more raise their hand. So that soon told me what I know for sure is the majority of the people really don't like change. It's difficult for them. So that's really, you know, Corio, that's what we're about. We help people manage through that change. And the other piece that I learned, it's about behaviors. It's about changing your behaviors. And if you think about your morning routine, right, you get up, I don't know, you brush your teeth, you get in the shower, you put on your makeup, you dry your hair. Think if somebody flipped that upside down and all of a sudden you had to, you know, walk the dog first, then take a shower and start mixing it up a little bit, because you really don't think about it, right? You just start your day, you get to work and you have your routine. So think about changing all that. It takes a lot more brain power to make those changes. It takes persistence, and you can't give up. It takes persistence, I should say, and you can't give up on that. So it's harder for people because they're really having to think through it and they have to keep at it. So I think making those adjustments as you get into a new work environment can be really difficult. So that's something that I know for sure it can be difficult. Habits are difficult. So we train people, employees on, you know, how to help them change those behaviors. We have a habit formula that we suggest, and we always suggest that you start with something easy so that you can feel good about it, right? And say, oh, wow, I can do this. And then start making, you know, selecting habits that are a little bit more difficult and challenging, but being persistent about it. So I know that for sure, and watching people and observing people. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And those habits are constantly evolving. I mean, because like if you think about it, maybe a habit 13 years ago was printing less, right? So we know that most people aren't paperless now, but they're paper light. So I think what's going to be really interesting as we get into this post-COVID world and more employees come back to the workplace, what do those habits look like now? Is the habit about wearing your mask? Is the habit about, you know, washing your hands? I mean, I think that's the great thing, you know, about our world, right? It constantly keeps changing. And even though that can be scary, we want the change to not be scary. We want to make it fun. We want it to be impactful. We want employees to feel safe and feel confident. And, you know, we want to be their partner in the change. And if you think even about the big why for an organization, like why does all this matter? Why does it matter, like Patty said, about people's behaviors? You know, once again, I mean, I think, Amanda, you have heard me say this. I mean, we really do believe that shape, you know, really the space shapes your behaviors shape your culture, and your culture really is what drives business results. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about the investment that an organization makes in their physical space, it's a big, big, big investment. So we want organizations to get the maximum investment. And we believe that part of that equation is not only a strong workplace strategy, but really getting your employees to work effectively within that work environment. So whatever goals you created, right? Maybe your goal is more collaboration or to become more innovative. Whatever your goal is as an organization, right? We want that workplace to help you to achieve those goals. And for that to happen, right? Your employees have to really work effectively and to get acclimated quickly into that environment so that you can maximize that investment that you've made in your workplace. And at the same time, though, like Patty said, we want it to be fun. We want it to be meaningful. You know, change is scary. Change is hard, but hopefully we can make that more enjoyable, more fun, and get people to where they need to be faster because we, you know, have a process that we believe in.
Mm-hmm. We've said a lot about how change is scary and hard, but you've also had some pretty funny moments, some things that lighthearted when you're in there and helping manage some of the changes. I love hearing some of your stories. Give us one, just a funny example of something that you've watched as employees are kind of working their way through the new ways of working.
Well, it was kind of funny. One of the gentlemen that we worked with in the beginning when we first started doing Move Genius, you know, he was just kind of funny. He came into the space with like 38 boxes, right? And I think he was only supposed to have two, but he had 38 boxes. And I think he was reluctant at first to ask us for help. And he started coming over and getting chocolate. And I think it was just funny one day, he came over and said, okay, now I've done it. He said, I've gotten chocolate all over my new chair. He said, can you, how do I clean the chocolate off? You know, so we got him comfortable, but then he got in trouble with the chocolate. And then I think, Patty, right there was that man that had the clock problem, right?
Oh, yeah, that was funny as well. he needed the clock on the wall because he missed a meeting. He told Mary Beth, well, now I've missed a meeting. Because facilities, they haven't hung the clock yet. And I missed my meeting because I didn't know what time it was. Meanwhile, he had his laptop with the time. He had a watch on. Uh-huh. And he also had his phone.
Oh, my goodness.
So once again, I think just stressed out. And, you know, trying to do his day job and just kind of lost. He was so used to, I think, once again, before, had a clock obviously near his desk that he could just glance up and go and didn't. You know, that's part of, right, your routine. You look up and there's the clock and you move on. I have one quick story. And I think it was Mary Beth that was actually doing the walk through the space. We have an on-floor support desk that we man. And usually we have 2 to 3 people, sometimes 4, depending on how many employees we have moving into the space. So I was sitting at the desk and Mary Beth decided we always do our rounds to just walk, make sure employees are comfortable, everything's moving along nicely. So Mary Beth did her walk and she came back to the desk and she goes, I got something funny for you. And I said, oh, great. What was this one? And she said, well, I was walking around and there was this gentleman and he was sitting at his desk and he had his chair up as high as it could go. So his feet were kind of dangling from the chair.
Oh,
and then she turned and she was really looking at him. And then the desk was really high. So he removed his chair. He put it up all the way so that he could reach the desk.
Then
she said, like, his hands were like his elbows were below the desk and his hands were up on the keyboard and he was trying to type and he knew that he could adjust the monitor. So he had the monitors kind of tilted down so he could see him. So His hands were high, his head, his chin was up looking at these monitors. And Mary Beth walked up to him and said, sir, are you comfortable? And he said, well, I'm really not that comfortable, but I have everything adjusted the best that I can adjust it. She said, well, how about I give you a little ergonomic demo? So he had no idea that the desk could go up and down with just one button. Changed his life. I mean, he was so excited and so happy. And, you know, we encourage everybody to ask questions as you're sitting around with other employees. Hey, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? But, you know, once again, our training with ergonomic training, culture training, technology training is really important to attend those things. Just to understand all your tools. But he was just thrilled that Mary Beth could help him. So I thought that was a funny one for me.
Ladies, I just love hearing your story and how it all started. What about bring us to 2020? If someone hires Corio to come in, and Patty, this may be a good question to kind of start with you. What are the first steps? Walk us through the process of when Corio comes in, how that work happens.
Well, basically how we start is we start with our workplace research piece, which I really feel like is probably the most important part of the process, because we basically study how employees or organizations in general are working today and how they want to work in the future. So it's a big part of our process. So once we understand that and we come to what they agree on for a workplace strategy and their big why, then we jump into the change management. Once we get into the change management, which is also extremely important because we're supporting employees, we go through that entire process, which starts usually with a town hall. We have change agents. We select the change agents. We have multiple topics such as technology, ergonomics, confidentiality and privacy. Once we get through all those, we ask the change agents to go back to their teams, make sure they present that information because they're basically an extension of our team so that the information is getting out there and communicated to all employees so their voices are heard. Another big part of that process is creating etiquette or protocols, if you will, for the space. So people are understanding, you know, when you work in individual spaces, now all of a sudden you're working in shared spaces. So how do we respect each other when we work in those spaces? Then we go through the all employee training. So all employees understand the workplace strategy, the why, when are we doing this and how are we going to do this? And then we end it with our on-floor support, which usually we're on floor. We move in with the employees for about a week. So if they have any types of issues, they come to us. We help resolve those issues. We give them feedback, follow up with them. And the great thing about it from the real estate or facility side, it really takes all of that off their plate, puts it on ours, and they can do their day job and we can follow up with employees.
Wow. You know, it has to feel so surreal to think that this is your 13th anniversary. You've been doing this, working together for all this time. Mary Beth, how does it feel like to know the employees that you've been able to make an impact with? And I mean, you have to feel proud of what Corio has become.
Well, I am very proud and I'm really excited because we've just touched so many lives and we've had the opportunity to work with so many amazing organizations and amazing employees. So it's been just a fun journey. We've learned so much. I think what's really exciting about now too, you know, now that we're in this pandemic world, right? I think it's exciting now to kind of figure out how we can add value because as Patty mentioned, you know, our process is really the same now. But now it's kind of the problems that we're trying to help organizations solve have to do with how do people work in their environment, you know, safely and confidently, and how do you connect remote workers with workers that are, you know, live and in person, you know, how do you make that seamless? And just generally, though, how do you make sure that employees feel comfortable and safe and confident in their work environment? And how are those protocols maybe different now than they were before the pandemic? So I think to me, that's exciting and a new challenge, really helping organizations to think through their workplace post-pandemic.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say a big happy birthday to Corio and to both of you. And congratulations on all of your hard work. And it's great to be able to share the story. So thanks for being with us today, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. For now, you can subscribe to the More Than a Chair podcast. You can also follow us on social media for constant updates. For now, this is the More Than a Chair podcast by Business Furniture and Corio. For constant updates, for